Proverbs chapter 1. During the night of October 22nd to 23rd, 1943, an RAF bombing raid attacked the German city of Kassel. The raid was devastating, destroying 90% of the ancient city. But the raid was also significant for another reason. It marked the launch of Operation Corona by the Royal Air Force. For Operation Corona, the RAF recruited from among Jewish refugees who had fled to Britain. As native speakers with a variety of regional German accents, men recruited for Corona were trained to impersonate German air defense controllers. Corona personnel, pretending to be German air defense headquarters, would contact German fighter bases and direct the German pilots miles away from the path of the oncoming RAF planes. Meanwhile, the real German air defense staff, listening to their radios, could hear their pilots being led astray and would issue their own commands. The pilots then had two voices in their ears, both sounding genuine, but giving them totally different commands. So effective was the confusion that the RAF caused that the German air defense began to employ female fighter controllers so their pilots could distinguish between their own real orders and the RAF's deception. The advantage didn't last long, of course, because the RAF responded by using fluent German speakers from the Women's Auxiliary Air Force. Well, the book of Proverbs tells us that in life there are two voices competing for our attention. Two voices are pictured in Proverbs as belonging to two ladies, Lady Wisdom and Mistress Folly. And both are compelling and attractive. Listen to one and we'll find life, blessing, security, and safety. Listen to the other and she'll try to lure us onto the rocks to make a shipwreck of our lives. Proverbs is a book for us today. This afternoon, we're going to spend the bulk of our time with some big themes in Proverbs by way of an introduction to the whole book. And then a few minutes at the end, we'll look at chapter 1. So three observations about the book as a whole. First one, if we want to be wise, we must go to Christ. If we want to be wise, we must go to Christ. There are some wonderfully memorable proverbs in the book. Chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Or how about this one? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. They're memorable proverbs, and we love them. But they don't tell us how to become wise. We're not meant to treat them as a way of life that will lead us to enlightenment, like some Eastern philosophy. Solomon, the author, is not telling us, if you want to achieve a state of wisdom, this is how you should live. The same gospel runs through the whole Bible. We're not saved by what we do, but by what Christ has done for us. We don't become wise by how we live. The way we live is the result of whether or not we are wise. So for the first 9 chapters, Solomon sits us down next to the fire and says, get wisdom. Whatever you do, ignore folly and get wisdom. And only after 9 chapters of encouraging us in this way does he launch into the Proverbs themselves in chapter 10. See, wisdom doesn't lie within us. Wisdom has nothing to do with how clever you are. To be wise, you have to go to someone else. Listen to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. In other words, trusting in yourself is the very opposite of being wise. Or how about these well-known words from chapter 3? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. If we want to be wise, to live lives full of integrity and understanding, we need to give up on our own wisdom and go to someone else. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 in our passage. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Wisdom lies outside us. If we want to be wise, we must stop trusting ourselves and our own understanding. We must go to Christ. It goes so much against the wisdom of this age, which tells us to trust ourselves and our gut instinct. But that's why in verse 8, Solomon reminds his son of the family devotions they used to have at home in the palace. "Listen, my son," he says, "to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching." Just as Moses had instructed the Israelites in Deuteronomy 6 to love the Lord and talk to their children about him at home, so Solomon says to his son, "Remember how your mum and I brought you up to fear the Lord? It's not in your power to be wise. Go to him, go to Christ." First then, Proverbs tells us, if we want to be wise, we must go to Christ. Second observation, the book of Proverbs is the advice of a king to his son. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Verse 6, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction." Verse 9, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them." Verse 15, "My son, do not go along with them." In fact, 15 times in the first 9 chapters, King Solomon says, "My son." Proverbs is the advice of a king to his son. And the advice is, go to Christ for wisdom. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, early in Solomon's reign, Christ appeared to Solomon in a dream, you'll remember, and said to him, "Tell me what you want and you can have it." And Solomon says to Christ, "Give me wisdom so that I can be a good king." So now in the book of Proverbs, King Solomon gives advice to his son to be a good leader, get wisdom. To reign as king, you need to be wise. You need wisdom and go to Christ for it. Well, all leaders need wisdom. President Clinton's statement in August 1998, "I did not have sex with that woman," is still instantly recognizable today, nearly 19 years on, as he spoke of his relationship with the White House intern, Monica Lewinsky. Intelligence or giftedness or success is no guarantee at all that a person may be wise. It's quite possible to be very successful and climb to the top of the ladder, but for your private life to be a mess. That's why another president, Harry Truman, writing in the 1930s, long before he became president, said, "A man not honorable in his marital relations is not usually honorable." To rule as king of Israel, Solomon says, you need wisdom. But as much as Proverbs is Solomon's advice to his son, it's first and foremost the advice of another father to his royal son. You see, all the kings of Old Testament Israel were little signs and shadows of Jesus, the true king of Israel, who would come one day. The words of the father to his son in Proverbs are, in fact, first the words of God the Father to his son. Get wisdom. Jesus, no doubt, would have meditated on these words as he was growing up in Nazareth. He'd have heard the advice of his father as he read Solomon's advice to his son. Live a life of wisdom. Don't turn aside to folly. Well, all that raises the question, who or what is wisdom? In recent years, it's become popular to think of wisdom as an abstract quality that Solomon personifies as Lady Wisdom, rather like saying in English, danger lurks around the corner. There's no person called danger who's hiding around the corner, but it's a way of making an abstract thing sound personal. So some people have said that Solomon does that with wisdom. He's describing the quality of wisdom as if it were a person. Well, I'm not sure that that's right. Because as we read the book of Proverbs, we begin to see that wisdom does things that only the Lord can do. So in chapter 8, wisdom is described as being with God before creation. And by wisdom, God creates all things. Also in chapter 8, wisdom claims to be able to give life. something only the Lord can do. In chapter 1, wisdom laughs at her enemies, which is what the Lord does in Psalm 2. And there are other examples, and you'll spot them as you read through this book. But here's one. In chapter 1, wisdom is an evangelist who seeks out all who are lost to find them and take care of them, to bring them life and security. And these are things that only the Lord does in Scripture. So wisdom isn't some abstract thing that's personified. Wisdom is actually a person. So who is wisdom? Well, there's a long history in the church of thinking of wisdom as being Christ himself, and there are good reasons for that view. But if Proverbs is the advice of God the Father to his Son to walk in wisdom, it would be a strange thing to say if his Son, in fact, were wisdom himself. Perhaps a clue to wisdom's identity is found in the prophecy of Jesus the King in Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And in many places in the Bible, we see a close link between the Holy Spirit and wisdom. So Joseph in Genesis 41 and Daniel in Daniel chapter 4 are both said to be wise because they are full of the Holy Spirit. In Luke's gospel, Jesus as a boy is described as growing strong in spirit, being filled with wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, Paul tells us that one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is wisdom. And in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ has become for us wisdom from God, I think as he is equipped by the Spirit to enact God's wisdom at the cross. All of that is to say, Proverbs applies to us only because, first of all, it is addressed to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a danger when we read the Bible that we think we are the main character and we try to apply it all to ourselves directly. But the book of Proverbs is addressed to us as those who are in Christ. Because it's first instructions to Christ to walk in the way of the Spirit, it also counsels us who are in Christ to seek the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And then Proverbs sets out for us what it looks like to live that life of the Spirit in every area of our lives. So our themes in Proverbs. First, Proverbs tells us if we want to be wise, we must go to Christ. Second, the book of Proverbs is the advice of a king to his son. When you're reading a book of the Bible, often the book tells us its purpose, and the book of Proverbs does the same. It sets out the purpose in chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, and so on. If you find the book of Proverbs tricky, then you're on the right track, because verse 6 describes it that it brings proverbs and parables and riddles. Proverbs is a book of teasing sayings that are meant to get us thinking. So how about chapter 26, verse 4? Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. But the next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Well, as a rule that we try to lift off the page and put into practice, this is a straight contradiction. Do not answer a fool according to his folly. Answer a fool according to his folly. But we're not meant to read Proverbs like that. Proverbs are riddly. And our own Proverbs are like that too. Many hands make light work. Yes, but too many cooks spoil the broth. Better safe than sorry. Yes, but nothing ventured, nothing gained. Or how about this? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. But out of sight, out of mind. The book of Proverbs is meant to send us away thinking. We're meant to chew these Proverbs over, and as we do so, to go to Christ each day and ask for his help to live wisely. First, Proverbs tells us if we want to be wise, we must go to Christ. Second, the book of Proverbs is the advice of a king to his son. Third, Proverbs helps us to grow in wisdom. Well, let's conclude. Throughout your life, in every area of your life, two voices are competing for your attention: wisdom and folly. Trusting in Christ or trusting in yourself. One is the way of life, the other of destruction. Just before the last war, aware of the threat of aerial attack and coastal shelling, the seaside town of Ramsgate in Kent petitioned the government to dig bomb shelters under their town. The geology of the area is such that they were able to dig 2.5 miles of tunnels, 60 feet under the surface, capable of sheltering 60,000 people, far more than ever needed it. And on the first day of the bombing, when 500 bombs were dropped on Ramsgate in just 5 minutes, only 28 people in the town lost their lives. As the weeks went by, many people began to move chairs and beds and other pieces of furniture down into the tunnels, setting up their homes there. Some lost their real homes in the bombing. Some lost their furniture, their possessions, their livelihoods, their jobs. But ultimately, they themselves were safe. See, despite its location, very close to occupied France, if you lived in Ramsgate, you lived in one of the safest towns in Britain. To know Christ, to walk in step with the Spirit, in other words, to live wisely, is to find safety. It doesn't make us immune from tragedies. Sooner or later, because we live in a fallen world, tragedy will come to us. But even when it does, nothing can ultimately touch us, because in the wisdom of God, Christ has died for you. Christ, anointed with the Spirit of wisdom, went to the cross. In Christ, your sin and mine was judged. If you're outside of Christ this afternoon, then that judgment is still to come. But if you come to Christ, as he invites every one of us to do, he is the safe place. So this afternoon, will you listen to the voice of wisdom and go to Christ for wisdom and life? Verse 32, the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me, wisdom says, will live in safety and be at ease, without fear of harm. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the book of Proverbs. We pray as we read it together over these next weeks and months that we might go to Christ for wisdom, that we might be full of your Holy Spirit and live the way of life and truth and peace. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.